Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we humbly, reverently approach Thee this morning, knowing, Father, that it was You that came down with a shout. It's Your presence that is leading us to the millennium. It is a vindicated word which we follow. Father, we have no word of our own. But we can simply, as you told us that Your bride would only speak if they had thus saith the Lord. And we know that thus saith the Lord is what You already said thus. So, Father, we come with no words of our own, but simply reflecting a message which You came to prepare us for the going home. And now we ask You, Father, these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to speak on the subject of twins again. This will be number 13 in our series. And our subject is the mark of God versus the mark of the beast. In this hour, there are to be only two types of people at the end time. Those who have the seal of God and those who have the mark of the beast. There's only two. We know there are three kinds of believers, but actually when it comes down to it, the unbeliever and the make-believer are both unbelievers. Only one is more sly, and he poses as a believer while still only an unbeliever. He's called the make-believer, and Brother Branham said the make-believer is the worst kind because he hangs around long enough until he can find fault, and then when he does, he tries to use it for personal gain. He's a fighter, he's a gossip, he is a fault finder, and being that we are struggling, all of us, in these bodies of humanity that we're given here, actually God placed us in these bodies for a testing, I don't think that the make-believer has to look too far to find fault with any son of God except the firstborn son of God. Because he was not born in sin, he was not shaped in iniquity, he was not come forth to the world speaking lies. He was actually a spoken word body. But you and I have basically a body that was born by sexual desire, and that's all we can say about it. Now, from the adoption or placing, Brother Brown said, in the last days, the Bible said, Now watch, in the last days there's going to be two classes of people. One of them is going to have the seal of God, the other the mark of the beast. Is that right? How many knows that? Well, if the seal of God is the Holy Ghost, then without the Holy Ghost is the mark of the beast. And the Bible said the two spirits would be so close together it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And it'll never do it because they were elected to eternal life. See, the church is going on just as ordinary. Now, we all know the quotes of Brother Branham define the two spirits, so I'll just read a few of them this morning. From the seat is not here with a shuck, Brother Branham said, now notice, see how close it looks. St. Matthew 24:24 said, the two spirits in the last days, the church spirit of the church people and the bride spirit of the bride people would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. That's how close. Now Brother Branham's quoting scripture there, that's why it's in red. From God identified himself, he says, the Spirit of God can be identified by his characteristics. See, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the church. There's a church spirit and the Spirit of God that's absolutely not the church spirit at all. Now, he spoke how the two spirits both have identifiable characteristics that show or manifest the life behind the spirit that they have. And he said, although both are religious, yet these identifiable characteristics expose what seed life they have. From If God Be With Us, Brother Branham said, many person has been deceived in receiving the Holy Ghost. As I said, they've got doctrines today like Elijah's garment and all those other things manifested sons of God and these different isms and so forth in the world today. People fall blindly on there and go through some kind of a sensation. They raise back with an arrogant spirit, with an indifferent spirit, fussy, high-tempered, that's not the Spirit of God. Now notice Brother Branham's beginning here to kind of tell us some of these identifiable characteristics. He says, still they continue right on out of order. They don't know what church order is. They don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. No manners, no, just no audacity at all, no feeling toward God. All they think about is my church. It shows they received a church spirit and not the Spirit of God. Because it knocks all of that out of you. It burns it up. Sure, see, they say, well, where is he? See, well, we got to, all right. Now, notice the elect. See, Brother Branham, Now, notice as Brother Branham says in this next paragraph from God is God of this evil age, he's speaking of the elect. He says, as she is part of the groom, she is true to him in every point, waiting for the wedding, uniting. Not at the ecumenical council, but in the sky, the wedding supper. She has been given, now this is for her own, this is for our own church. She has been given and revealed to her the seven sealed mystery of the Bible. She sees the folly of the deceiver, so very close to the truth that almost deceived the elect. She sees it. Now see the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. Can you see it? Each very religious, Cain and Abel, spirits again working in their heads, still same as they started, one worshiping by beauty and by knowledge and by education and by science and by ethics. And the other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Both of them are standing right in this building this morning. That's right. From 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That word is gnosko. The Lord knoweth with an experiential knowledge those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, depart from doing things you know that aren't right. Just quit doing it. From the seal of God, Brother Brown said, now I'm going to base the scripture. First, I'm going to tell you what I think the mark of the beast is and what I think the scripture supports the mark of the beast to be. Then I'm going to tell you what I think the scripture supports the seal of God. Now, we know that these two great things are ending up soon into two great grips. The world is gripped by these two things right now, the mark of the beast and the seal of God. Some of them places it way over into the future. Some say it's already been in the past, but I believe that there's just two answers to it. And that is the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The mark of the beast is rejecting it. Now, that's the only two things. You know, we can preach, he's here, he's here, he's here. And we can preach that, you know, justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come down. And so we focus on the Holy Ghost that's come down, and we fail to recognize that if you don't have the Holy Ghost yourself, you'll never recognize the true presence of the one who's here. It'll be a doctrine to you. It'll be a thing to talk about. But if you truly believe the Holy Spirit is here, and you have the Holy Spirit, not the unholy spirit, the Holy Spirit, your life will divvy up to his life. Fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. Your life will circumspectly be aware of that divine presence. Now I can tell you that there's one person in here who actually had an opportunity to experience Brother Branham, you know, live in the meetings. And that was my wife. She was only 8 to 10 years old. And she'll tell you the one thing she remembers more than anything else is when that man came in from the study. There was a presence there. There was an awe. There was a reverence. There was a humbleness. There was like you would feel if you're in God's presence. Because that's the presence he walked with. He walked in the light as God is in that light. And when he came out on that platform, God was with him. And it wasn't William Branham you felt. It was that presence that he lived in that you felt. Now I ask you the question, do people feel that presence in your life? I'm just asking you the question. I know you're not called to be a prophet. But you know what? You can pray just as much as he prayed. You have that ability. That's the difference between him and most of the people. He lived in prayer daily. He lived in that presence of God. Now, Brother Branham said, I believe that there's just two answers to it, and that is the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The mark of the beast is rejecting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the only two things. I'm going to give you scripture why now as we go through. Now, one of them is all the peoples on earth in the last days is either going to be sealed by the seal of God or marked by the mark of the beast. No exceptions. And he calls all, both poor, great, bond free, all upon the earth, he's quoting here, I should have put that in red, to receive the mark who did not have the seal, and whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life since the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain, and when their names were put on the Lamb's book of life. Now in John 6:27 we read, labor not for the meat which perishes, that's what we all do, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, that's what we all should do, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So we're talking about the very important thing of the seal of God. So we see there must come a sealing in to whatever life you will manifest. The bride of Christ, the elect of God, will be sealed into his spirit, his life, and will manifest then his spirit, his life, while those who refuse the life of God will be marked with the mark of the beast, showing that they have beast nature, not God nature. That is why the Apostle Paul points out in Galatians 5 the attributes of God's life, which are the fruits of the Spirit. God's Spirit, and then when he contrasts that with the fruits of the flesh, which is that beast nature, one is filled with the love of God and the other with hate for anyone outside of their little group or their little ideology. Galatians 5:19, notice here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Notice these first four are sexually driven. Like Freud. Freud calls it the id. The lowest drive or the central drive that people have is their sexual drive. Now, notice then he goes on, idolatry, which is the same spirit as adultery, but it's in the spiritual realm, it's in the word. Witchcraft, in other words, these little amulets and things like that that people use to, you know, Ouija boards and, you know, all this little stuff that they use. Lasciviousness, or excuse me, hatred. Wow, hatred. Variance. That's being disagreeable all the time. Emulations. That's hot-headed, jealousy, and indignation. Wrath and strife and seditions. That means divisiveness. Always wanting to divide over just little things. Like people claiming to believe the same pillar of fire, the same message, and splitting over little differences in how they think about an issue, about a doctrine. That means riot, and then he goes on, he says, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. That means rioting, starting fusses and fights at the drop of a hat, and such the like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you have any of those attributes in you, you better die. You better die. Fussing all the time, you better die to it. You're not going in. So there's your warning. You want to fuss, go ahead. But no one that likes to fuss and has those attributes of the flesh on display will make it to heaven. That is, thus saith the Lord. That's what the Lord has just said thus, as we read it from his written word. Now contrast those warlike attributes of the flesh to the love, peaceable attributes of the Spirit of God life in the believer filled with his Spirit. Paul goes on, but the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and mercy, meekness and temperance. That's self-control, not just blurting out what you think, but being thoughtful about what comes out of your mouth. And against such there is no law. And in the next verse, Paul gives us the key to these God life attributes. He says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Any of those attributes in the flesh, you could have them in your flesh. But if you're son of God, filled with God life, you crucify those things. You just don't blurt out what you think. You measure what you think by the influence or the effect it's going to have on the person you're talking to. If you remember when Brother Branham was being interviewed, it looked like he was reading from a scroll, but he wasn't, because there was no scroll. They didn't even have that technology in those days. But before he answered their questions, he'd look up like this, and he was thinking, how should I answer this so that it will have the right response? Do you do that before you open mouth, insert foot? Or do you open mouth, insert foot, And then, well, let the chips fall where they lay. It's not the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of man. The Spirit of God is very careful. Very careful. Not to offend. Not to bulldoze. Not to call people serpent seed. Not to call people names. The Spirit of God is very careful. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Now, as I was saying, there is to be a mark placed on every man living in this hour. You will either receive the mark of God, his mark of approval, which is receiving his Holy Spirit, or you will be marked with the mark of the beast. This is the hour that everyone, all who live on earth, are receiving a mark that will distinguish them as to which seed they are. Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. And Brother Branham taught us that the mark in the forehead is not some physical mark that's put on you. Notice it doesn't say on the forehead, it says in the forehead. He said that's the way you think. That's your mindset. Or in his hand, not on his hand. In his hand, in other words, in your actions. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out with mixture into the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up before forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, we're going to find out about this mark in Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Now remember, in the book of Revelation, we'll get to that later on, but it tells us who this is. This is the Roman Catholic Church. And notice it rises up out of the sea, which is nations, peoples, multitudes, and tongues. Having 7 heads, 7 heels upon which the woman sitteth, the Bible says. The woman is a great city which reigneth over the people of the earth. And the beast which I saw likened unto a leopard, and his feet was as a bear, feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? Satan. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. They call it the papal authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, that's actually where pagan Rome became papal Rome. Pagan Rome ruled the world under its emperor, papal, and then it was wounded as if to death, and then it rose up again under papal Rome with its emperor, or its pope, its papa. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. 68 million people were murdered by the Catholic Church for standing against her blasphemous doctrines and unholy living during the Dark Ages. Notice, because the people disagreed with her doctrine, they killed them. And Brother Brown said, in this hour, you can kill a person by more than just using a bullet or a knife. You speak against their character, and you might as well have killed them. Now, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up. So now you're looking at Rome, but now another beast coming up. Notice, out of the earth. Not peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. Out of the earth. Notice this is Revelation 13. Out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. 2 horns like a lamb. What is a lamb? It's supposed to be a little peaceable thing, right? And it had 2 horns. A civil and ecclesiastical horn. United Nations and the World Council of Churches. Where are they centered? New York. Right? Has anybody ever seen the the 1812 map of the United States before the Louisiana Purchase? When you look at the 1812 map of the United States, you will see the Lamb. It's just as clear as any person could look. You have New York comes down, and notice New York doesn't come down to a point. It comes down to almost like a shape like this. Only it looks like it's a little bit further out here, and it comes down. It looks just like the face of a lamb. And Massachusetts or Maine going up looks like one of the horns. And then the other horn is over there in New York and goes up, you know, where you got the Great Lakes there, Michigan. And then you have Florida is the front feet. And you have Missouri is the hind feet. It's identical to looking like a lamb. And notice two horns, ecclesiastical and civil. And he exercises, and it says, and notice, and he will speak as a dragon. He'll speak just like the devil. Now remember, the devil doesn't always say bad stuff. He comes on like an angel of light. Right? And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Who's that? Rome. And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, to worship Rome, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight, on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, Rome, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What do you think this nation is in so many countries doing battle on so many different war fronts? They're trying to establish the New World Order. They're not trying to establish democracy. If they were, they'd just let the people alone, let them do it themselves. They're there to do the bidding of the papal see, who is running the economics of the world. When Malachi Martin wrote Windswept House, he said that the first economic summit was the G5, but there were six signers. You had representative from the United States, from Germany, from England, from Japan, and I don't remember the fifth one. And then the sixth one was the Vatican, Secretary of State of the Vatican. They were behind the setting up of all these global summits. You know, now they're up to G20, something like that. The 20 wealthiest countries in the world. And he causes all, A-double-L, everyone living, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand, the way they act, or in the name, or in their forehead. In the way that they think. In what other age has a Christian church, the so-called conservative right, been so war-hungry? Go over those countries and nuke them. Just get rid of them. Blow them up. Blast them away. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of flesh. What does the spirit of flesh say? Hate and all these other things. Hate and wrath and dissimulation, all these things. What's the spirit of Christ? Love and peace and joy. You see how Christianity is represented in a, just like it was during the Dark Ages, when they went over to Jerusalem to free Jerusalem from the Muslims, and so they went to slaughter, and the Muslims went back slaughtering. It's all the spirit of the devil. It's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ doesn't take up the sword. When Peter took up the sword, lopped off that man's ear, Jesus healed the man's ear, and he said, put the sword away. He that uses the sword will perish by the sword. So what is this so-called Christian nation doing in all these countries around the world, causing war, bringing war? It's not the spirit of Christ. It's speaking like a dragon. It's time we face those facts. This is no longer a Christian nation. That's right. And that no man might buy or sell. That's economics. save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. That's how he controls man. He uses economics to do it to the whole world. No food, no clothing, no provisions, no home, no car loans, no house loans. No nothing unless you accept his mark. Now here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. And that's exactly what is written over the Pope's throne. It says Vicarius Filii Dei. And in the Roman Latin letters, Vicarius is V-I-C-A-R-I-V-S. There is no U in the Roman language, the Latin language. And it adds up, Vicarius Filii Dei. Those letters add up to 666. Now we see also in the Old Testament as well, Ezekiel 9:3, and the glory of God, the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed in linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Begin in the house of God. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city, and it came to pass while they were slaying them, I fell upon my face and I cried and said, O Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth us not. If he can't forgive that sin, what can he forgive? Well, doesn't the Lord say 7 times 7? So I guess I can commit adultery 7 times 7. Huh? I guess I can steal 7 times 7 because God's got to forgive me. He said we should forgive one another. That's their logic. You see where it leads to? It leads to pure hell. It leads to that's just man sinking. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me to do. On Revelation 24, we see, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon him, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of men, of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Those people being beheaded right now for the cause of Christ. Those Christians through the ages, because the Catholic Church beheaded them, and now the Muslims are beheading those Christians. They'll be there, it says, for 1,000 years. At Kadesh Barnea, and they began to murmur and complain, and finally they were brought to Kadesh. And when they come, now look at, look, that's what he says. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's not my words, that's his words. Those Christians, those people that it says, that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. You say, well, they didn't come through this message. They can't be there. Who are you to say who can't be there? The Bible says right there. They were beheaded for the word of God's sake. They wouldn't bow down and say, no, I'm not going to turn down my belief in my Savior Jesus Christ. It takes the Holy Ghost to do that. You know, there's some things we don't fully understand. You say, well, they can't have the Holy Ghost if they haven't heard of a prophet. Well, what about Brother Bosworth, filled with the Holy Ghost before Brother Branham ever came on the scene? Now, come on, people. They believed the word to its entirety for what they understood. At Kadesh Barnea, they began to murmur and complain, and finally they were brought to Kadesh. And when they come to Kadesh, this judgment seat, judgment, and then all the whole thing was gathered together in some glorious day, and I believe that day is at hand right now. when there will be a separation between the right and the wrong, and I believe I could sufficiently prove by the scripture authority that the mark of the beast and the seal of God, of the people of God, is soon to take place, and even now is taking place. The mark of the beast is the mark of apostasy. The mark of the beast was those who rejected the right. They were bored in their ear to be wrong, the rest of their days. Bored in their ear to be wrong the rest of their days. Those who receive the seal of God is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. It come to the place where a person can't stand mediocrity anymore. That's right. Now, we'll read Ephesians 4 and 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. All right. Now, from Jubilee, Brother Bram says, there's only going to be two classes of people in the last days. Both of them is going to wear a mark. The mark of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without a shadow of a doubt, I preached that not long ago right here. By the Holy Spirit's help and the Word of God proved it, that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4 and 30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Without the Holy Spirit, you are not sealed. But the Holy Spirit is God's seal. And then that all that was not sealed by the Holy Spirit was took on the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is the mark of apostasy, which is rejecting the Holy Spirit. See what I mean? Revelation 15 and 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Hallelujah. Revelation 9 and 4, and it was commanded them that they would not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. It's like all these bombs and stuff they're making today. They're not meant to kill grass and trees and things. They're meant to wipe out your technology and to kill man with radiation. They call them stingers, don't they? Some of them have even the names that they call in the Bible, you know, the scorpions, things like that. Those are scorpion stinger missiles. Revelation 9 and 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing. 2 Timothy 2, 4 and 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, of right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, last night we went into the difference between the appearing and coming, so we understand those things. Now, from receive the mark of the beast, those that receive the mark of the beast in their forehead and in their hands, in Genesis 4:15 we see the first place it took place, and the Lord said unto him, speaking to Cain, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any man finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Notice, as soon as he received the mark of the beast, what did he do? He left the presence of the Lord. That's an attribute. From the true Easter seal, it said, and Satan's sons will be sealed in this last days. There's a time now that the Bible spoke of, that all that did not have the seal of God took the mark of the beast. All. So, brother, sister, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you have one other option. You're going to take the mark of the beast, unless you get on your knees and cry out to God and ask him to fill you with his Spirit. And we know that the mark of the beast is disbelief, unbelief. The first time, where did you say the mark of the beast began? It began in the Garden of Eden. The mark of the beast and the seal of God was performed in the Garden of Eden, exactly. It's performed through Easter, for the death of Abel brought forth Seth. That's right. Notice, Cain was a son of Satan. He was a son of the beast, which beguiled Eve. You can call it whatever you want to. He was a son of Satan. And what did he do? God put a mark on him and set him out from the presence of God. Is that right? And he got him a wife, not out of the heritage of God, but got him a wife from the land of Nod, another land. Revelation 13:17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So it's all economics. Revelation 16:2. And first went, and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So the plagues are going to hit those with the image. Now, let me just say this. I've got a couple quotes where Brother Branham said, it is prophesied by the scripture, Revelation chapter 8, that there are coming upon the earth diseases that scientists and the doctors know nothing about. He said, men will rot right in their flesh. We're seeing that in Ebola. Now, there's two different quotes where he speaks this, and in both quotes he says, but that spirit is forbidden to touch those that have the seal of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So pray to God with everything that's in you, that you and your loved ones will receive the seal of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll keep you from that plague, because that plague is now in this country. It's in Washington, it's in New York, it's in Texas, it's spreading. They say that this man that came over here, he had contact with over 100 people. They said 50 of them are very suspect for having it now. Half. He was on that plane doing everything that a person would do, touching things that people would later touch, bumping into people, standing in line, breathing on people, and there's going to be a whole lot of people infected with that thing. And Brother Brown says science knows nothing about it. Revelation 17:1. And there came... Now you say, well, what about the two doctors that had it and were brought to America, and they were healed with some miracle drug? You know what the doctor said? He said, well, whether the drug or not had any effect, he said, I know one thing, God did. He was a Christian doctor. And those two men, or the man and the woman, they were both Christian doctors over there doing mission work. If they had the seal of God, God protected them. That's all I can say. Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come thither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, just a minute. I know there's people say, well, how can they have the Holy Ghost? They don't believe our doctrine. Since when does believing a doctrine give you the Holy Ghost? Now, come on. Since when does believing a doctrine give you the Holy Ghost? I can show you a whole denomination that believes a doctrine, that believes the Father and Son like we do. One God had a Son. It's an offshoot of the Church of God. They actually have a college in Atlanta. Look it up. I've conferred. I've talked to some of their pastors. And they use a lot of the same scriptures I used. And the things Brother Branham used. So just having the right doctrine. Look, Satan has the doctrine. He knows the doctrine. Doctrine doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. Now, knowing the doctrine, it ain't never going to hurt you. It's going to help you. But doctrine is for placing. That's why teaching ministry is for placing, positionally placing. But positionally placing, let me just say this, positionally placing you doesn't give you the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost, and then the teacher can help you to be positionally placed. But a whole lot of people come to the positioning and the placing, and they say, and they don't have the Holy Ghost, and they say, well, I'm positionally placed. No, you are not. The elect are positionally placed. You are not, unless you are born again first. You've got to be born again first. Brother Vail's ministry was not for the unbeliever. Brother Vail's ministry was for the elect. Not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that claims to be, well, I got Brother Vail, so I've got it. Or I got Brother Brown, I've got it. No, you don't. I'm sorry, but you don't, unless you have Jesus Christ. You see? And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come thither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunken with the wine for fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven hands and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup filled with the abomination of filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was written the name Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. So she was responsible for the death of many saints. That's the sanctified ones. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns, the beast which thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, that they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is out of the seventh and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, in other words, are dictators, 1 hour with the beast. See, they're not kings, but they receive power as kings. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb and shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongue. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their heart to fulfill his will, and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What city in the world reigns over the kings of the earth?
Rome.
Yeah, Rome. People say, well, Washington, give me a break. Washington is only the puppet that's being used by the Vatican. Every president, you see them, they go over to the Vatican, you see them bowing over and kissing his hand. Who would want to kiss the filthy hand of somebody like that? And these last few popes have all been convicted of child molestation and everything else. Well, it's like the Borgias back in the Dark Ages. You know that there was popes who had concubines, and then the concubine had a baby by the pope, and that concubine baby then became a pope? That's the Borgias. You know, Pope Julius II had 22 illegitimate children. I learned that in 10th grade in history class. That's when history books were actually real and not made up. And something spoke in my heart and said, God isn't in that. I was reading it right there in class. And something spoke right after that and said, and if God ever left it, he would never come back. Now, how did I know that as a little Catholic boy? Huh? Yeah, God. God speaking to his little boy. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Not loving birds. Hateful birds. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill her to the double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give to her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in a day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thionine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and the cinnamon and odors and ointments and fragrances and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots, that's cars and everything else, and slaves and the souls of men, the merchandising of men, and the fruits that they shall, etc. We got too much to go here today, so I'm just going to have to pass it. But anyway, notice, she's going to reap what she sowed. Now, from the seal of God, Brother Branham said, and then we come to find out that in this day now, that the Bible predicted that there would be a time when men would receive a mark, and the mark of the beast, every time that there's a little something flies up in the country, everybody says, well, that's the mark of the beast. You notice that? YouTube's full of it. But before YouTube, it was, you know, if you're a Baptist, I mean, John Todd went around saying, Jimmy Carter was a mark of the beast. You know, J.C., Jesus Christ. Everything was a mark of the beast. Brother Branham said, that's all foolishness. See? He said, at one time, he said, I was just ordained in the Baptist church when I heard about the NRA. Well, everybody said, well, that's the mark of the beast. Must have been all the liberals. And then everything starts out, it's the mark of the beast. And now they say, well, here comes Russia down, communism, it's the mark of the beast, but it's a lie. It isn't the mark of the beast. The Bible tells us what the mark of the beast is. The mark of the beast is not no great anti-religious, anti-country raised up like that. Communism is not Russia. Communism is a spirit. We don't have to worry about Russia. Our own rottenness is what's killing us. Communism moving right among our churches and everything else, in our schools, in our homes, everywhere in our nation. The whole thing is just worm-eaten. The robin pecking on the apple doesn't hurt the apple. It's the worm at the core that ruins the apple. That's what it is. It's just the rottenness among ourselves calling ourselves Christians and acting like the world and dressing like the world and partaking of the world and calling ourselves, and the world's sick and tired of such. And now only the world, not only the world, but a lot of Christians too. Yes, I've also said, God help the day when men will be what they ought to be. If I was against him, I'd say that I was against him. I'd be against him in everything I could be. But I'm for him, and I love him, and I believe him. And my life is in his hands to do whatever he wants to, because I believe that Christianity is the truth. That's right. I believe it's the truth. I'm traveling the world and looking it over in different isms and so forth, and all their founders are dead and laying in the grave, and they have theology. That's just about as far as a Christian church goes with it. But those who know their God shall do exploits. And the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ lives in the man. That's right. He is not dead. He's risen. I'll be with you, even in you. And things that I do, shall you do also. Yes, sir. Then the world looks and they say fanaticism. You've seen where they took it last night by the help of God. Or where we took it last night by the help of God. Now we find out that the first thing that ever raised up from any form of the beast at all, the beast means power. We went through all the symbols and everything last night to prove that the beast was a power, and it did not come out of Russia. It came out of Rome. That's right. It came from Rome. And it was not a group of men. It was not a political organization. It was a religious institution. It was a church that sat on seven hills with one man who had controlling power over the world in there. Exactly right. And we find out that it was a woman, and pictured her just as plain, not taking my own interpretation, but just reading the Bible. That there's no other place in the world, no other city in the world that rules over the earth. In every nation, that streak of Romanism goes out like in 10 toes of Daniel's vision. And we find out that was the Vatican City, a city, at least a dozen loyal Catholics sitting here tonight. They sit still and they listen. They are sincere. They are hungering. Now, you can't argue with the priest. You won't argue because the priest, if the church says anything different from the Bible, the church is right, they say. To me, the Bible is right and the church is wrong. See, you can't argue with them. There's no way of arguing. There's no way of discussing or debating because they believe what the church says. That's it. That's it. What the church says. No matter what the Bible says, it's what the church says. They believe the church. Well, we believe the Bible. Now, we find out that she was called, the church was a woman, and she was called the flat, vulgar word of a whore. Then she was a mother of harlots, and we find out that the Catholic Church was the first mother church. She is exactly what she is. She says she is. She is the first church to ever be organized. When God ever organized religion, it was the Catholic Church. The first organization was ever organized in the world of Christian religion, the Catholic Church. And then finally, she was the mother of harlots. She gave birth unto churches after her because they couldn't have been boys. They had to be girls. And we find out that the Protestant Church is the product of the Catholic Church. By searching the scriptures and looking at your history book, we see that the Protestant Church is the product, and the Protestant can't holler at the Catholics because both, it says that the harlots and the whore, that's flat, but that's thus saith the Lord. That's right. Watch where he said, let us, the United States, they said, let us make an image under the beast. If the beast was a power and the power was an organization, not taking theory now, That's the Word of God. The organization of the Catholic Church organized themselves together and made it and agree, and they accepted what they called the early fathers together and organized the Catholic Church and made a ritual and what they believed and what they would teach and universal belief. And they forced it upon people by punishment. And then when Martin Luther come out, seeking the Spirit of God to lead him out, instead of letting the people stay free, he organized the church, an image like unto the beast, a political power like unto the beast. Instead of letting them, the people, walk as God gives light, they organized under a discipline, and they have to stay to that discipline. Well, then the same thing happened with Wesley. Same thing happened all the way through, you see? So in Revelation 19:20, we read, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So we see that there's judgment for those that have the mark. Now, from question and answer, Brother Branson, the mark of the beast is on today, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. To reject it is the mark of the beast. Everyone who sees the Holy Ghost, that you're supposed to receive it and don't do it, automatically you take the mark of the beast, because there's only two classes to exist. All that didn't have the seal of God had the mark of the beast. So to receive the seal of God is to receive the Holy Ghost. To reject it is to have the mark of the beast. There's the whole thing. That's exactly right. So if you don't seek with everything in you to receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive the mark of the beast. Now, from influence said, I don't see nothing to hinder the rapture of the church right now. Well, the mark of the beast is on the other side. Remember the apostasy. It comes in then after the church. And from souls in prison, he says, Lot made his last call. I mean, the angel did, the messenger, ever who he was. God represented for this day. God represented in human flesh, made the last sign, performed the last duty. It was all over then. Noah preached his last sermon. The door closed behind him. That was all. They laughed at it and they made fun of it. Think, the people can go right on preaching. The ecumenical council can go, can join up with the Catholic Church just as they promised it. All the organization can come on, but the mark of the beast is already there. They've taken then, and they said, oh, hallelujah, bless God. There were so many got saved last night. Did they? Or they did? They danced in the spirit. They spoke in tongues. That don't mean one thing. See? Oh, they're meek and gentle and humble. Yes, sir, they got the fruit of the Spirit. That's no sign, not a bit. Let me give you the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus. Let me give you the fruit of the Spirit between Jesus and the Pharisees. See which one had the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, those kind old priests could talk and sweet and everything else. He said Jesus went in there and turned over their tables and everything else. So, now, from the mark of the beast, said the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost the mark of the beast is to reject it. We've read now four or five quotes where Brother Branham says that. From seal of God, he said the mark is a distinction. It makes a difference. It separates something. Like you say, you got one mark against you, a mark. But you never said that you had one seal against you. You got one mark against you, and a seal is a sign of ownership. A mark is a distinction, and the church is sealed with the Holy Spirit, showing an ownership. God owns the church, but the mark of the beast is the wayward, the outcast that refused to take and come God's provided way. Cain, as soon as he was marked, was sent away. We get that. Abel died, and Seth raised up to take his place with a sign of the resurrection. Now, notice the difference between a mark and a seal. From seal of God, he said, now Jesus said that in the last days, according to St. Matthew 24th chapter, the two spirits, the ones that was sealed in with God and the ones that would be marked by the beast, the Antichrist, would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Now, they're going to be so much alike. Now, some people would say, well, that's communism and the mark of the beast. You're wrong. Communism is not the mark of the beast, yet it is, but it isn't heading up. The mark of the beast is a religious nature, very religious, so cunning and sly, until it would deceive the very elected if it was possible, just so close till it would deceive the elected if it was possible. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, people different. People say, well, keep a day or do a certain thing or certain things, the seal of God. That is not scriptural. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. How many knows that? God's word says the seal of God is the Holy Ghost. Now, and then what is the mark of the beast? Is to reject the Holy Ghost, a mark of apostasy. Let me just see what time here. I'm just going to skip through some of this. From hearing, recognizing, and enacting, Brother Ann said, and the spiritual church is at the end of the road. It's heading up. It's heading the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's all heading up that right. Heading up in the coming of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, the headship of the church, is coming. What's it going to do? Resurrect all the saints and give them a glorified body. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that she's heading up. It's heading up to two great things. Coming to the end time, the mark of the beast and the seal of God. The seal of God. Any minister knows that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then down here we'll just read. Now remember, what is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a carnal Esau to reject the birthright. Didn't Esau weep bitterly, trying to restore that birthright again? But there was no place of repentance. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you seal yourself outside of God's mercy. Now, that takes us to Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 6 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Like Brother Vail said, that means quit fussing who's right and who's wrong. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, it is impossible for them to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. They're not crucifying the Son of God afresh in me. They're not crucifying the Son of God afresh to you. They're crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. You see? In other words, they're walking away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, and that's the key, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. I'm just going to move on because we just don't have time. From the seal of God, Brother Branham said, Now we're coming to the mark of God. I got 30 minutes, the Lord willing. Now I want you to turn with me first and find out how essential this mark of God is. Remember what the mark of the beast is. Not communism. The mark of the beast comes from Rome throughout the world. Catholicism with the with Protestantism joined into it. Organized religion. And they're going to unionize the churches till every church will have to bow to that thing. Or interdenominationals are kicked out on the sidelines. That's right. Now from Lamb of God. Or Lamb of Goliath. Notice the mark of the beast is the mark of apostasy. The devil. The works of the devil. Jesus said, by their church membership, by their theology, by their seminary experience, by their fruits, he says, you shall know them. Not by church membership, not by theology, not by seminary experience, but by their fruits you shall know them. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience, meekness. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit, that's the mark of the Holy Spirit, showing that divine love has anchored in the heart, and the things of the world is dead. Now, the mark of the devil is impersonation. It's works. It's not grace. The works shadow things to come. Hypocrisy, going to church, pretending to be a Christian, living like the world, having affairs with the world, going out and acting like the world, and so very close till both sides will be looking exactly deceiving the very elect. Here's a church member, goes to church regular, a very fine person, goes to church, good person, morally good, but yet right down in the depths of their innermost being, there's never an experience of Jesus abiding in there. Look at Esau and Jacob. Why? Esau was twice as good as a guy as Jacob was. Sure he was. But Jacob had one thing. He had recompense to the reward. He seen that birthright and he counted it the greatest thing on earth. You count your job the greatest thing, or do you count this message, the word of God, the greatest thing? From the seal of God, he says, and remember, we found without one mistake that the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy. That is, church members hanging to the church instead of walking in the light. They reject light, and there's nothing left but darkness. That's right. Both Catholic and Protestant, there is a beast and a whore, and she is a harlot daughter. And these harlot daughters, when they broke forth, they were virgins from the light of that day. And they organized and bringing people down here, back into here, making them the same kind of thing that Rome was in the beginning. The Bible says so. The beast and an image to the beast, the letter of his name, and so forth. Again, from Mark of the Beast, Brother Branham said, now you see what the mark of the beast is? It's the mark of apostasy. Notice all these quotes. It's apostasy. I'm going to show you what apostasy is in closing. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to church. I'm just as good as the next guy. Am I not belong to this church? And you realize where your church organization that you're depending on, where it come from? Do you realize the Bible said he that worships the beast receives his mark or the letter of his name. Now watch, in the forehead or in the hand. That's knowledge or deeds. That don't mean that you got a big tattoo on your face. It don't have to be that way. It's not talking of the outward, it's talking of spiritual. You watch him and see what he knows about the scripture. Listen to him and see where he goes to. If any man don't have this doctrine, there's no light in him. The Bible said, see. Well, watch where he goes to. Watch what he does. You say, well, I'm a Protestant. Yes, sir. I belong to this church. Yes, sir. And on Sunday, you have just about enough respect for it to come in out of the rain. He goes down, instead of going to prayer meeting, you close up the church and sit and watch television. He goes out here and he drinks and carries on and acts like the rest of the world, yet he belongs to the church. Remember, that's the mark of the beast. So what is the mark of apostasy? The word apostasy means renunciation of religious faith, abandonment of a previous loyalty, defection. Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be soon not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as that day of the Lord, day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Those people who have walked out on the message, on the truth, have received the mark of the beast. That's what apostasy means. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And in closing, from Seal of God, Brother Branham said, brother, one of these days the last Holy Ghost anointed gospel sermon will be preached. One of these days the last gun will fire. One of these days the last song will be sung. One of these days the last prayer will be prayed. One of these days the doors of the tabernacle will be closed for the last time. The Bible will be closed on the pulpit. And you'll stand in the presence of God to give an account for what you've heard tonight. What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When tonight comes on record, what then? Oh, as the song says, what then? You all know the song? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the ones that's rejected the Savior today will be asked to give a reason, what then? Your job stood in your way? Your parents stood in your way? Your boyfriend stood in your way? Your girlfriend stood in your way? Your church stood in your way? What then? What then? When the great book is open, what then? When the ones that's rejecting the message tonight, you're going to be asked to give a reason. What then? What are you going to do about it? You know what the mark of the beast is now. You know what the seal of God is. It's up to you. May the Lord bless you while we stand. Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that this is the hour of your great appearing. This is the hour where your bride is becoming subject to your word. She's becoming one with you, even as your son Jesus was one with you. Fill us, O God, with your spirit. And if there be any here this morning that does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, I pray that they would remain, that we could lay hands upon them as the apostles did, as Brother Vail did in the early years, as Brother Branham did, that they might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. While we're departing, let's just sing that song together. When the ones that's rejected the Savior today will be asked to give a reason, what then? Do we have that in the book? What's that? Yeah. 4? Oh, 111. Okay. Let's just sing that together. Let's just sing the chorus. What then? What then? When the great book is open, what then? When the ones that rejecting this message tonight will be asked to give a reason, what then? What then? What then? When the great
But then, when the ones that rejecting the message tonight will be asked to give a reason, what then?